Wrong switch, that's all right. Psalm 23, familiar, of course, to everybody. But let's go ahead and read it all the way through. And then we're going to go back and make some comments about these particular verses and talk about the fact that God has abundant blessings in store for us as His children when we follow Him. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for these and all the words of our Bible today. And thank You, Father, that every promise made in the Scripture belongs to the child of God today through faith in Jesus. And the desire of Your heart, Father, is to fulfill every good word and every promise in Your children's lives. As we study these Scriptures today, Father, may we understand not only what You want to do in us, but we would understand what our part is in making You the priority of everything about our lives, every moment that we live. I thank You for it, Father. Open our eyes by Your Spirit today. Encourage us by the Word. Teach our hearts to have expectation of good things from Your hand, both in this life and in the one to come. And we will give You praise for it through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about an abundance of blessings. Because the Lord, the Bible makes it clear to us that when we make the decision to make God the priority of our life, and we choose to serve Him and please Him in everything and in every way, the Bible tells us that He desires to pour out an abundance of blessings into our lives. We looked at several passages of Scripture last week in the context of our message on the blessings of generosity last week. And we saw the promises of God for blessings for our kindnesses and goodness and giving to other people. We found, for example, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 and 10 in there. And those verses of Scripture tell us that when we honor God, we put Him first place, even where our financial issues are concerned. When we honor God with the first of all that we have, the Bible says, and you have to understand this was an agricultural society, and so we have to get it in that context. The Bible says, "Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine." And what that means to you and I in this day is simply this, that when we put God first place, God has an abundance of blessings that He desires to pour out upon us as His children. Malachi 3:10, we all know that verse probably, where the prophet says, or God through the prophet says, when you bring the tithe into the storehouse, God says, "I'll open for you the windows of heaven and pour out on you blessings that you can't contain, blessings that will overwhelm you when you put Me first in your life." And then we read from Second Corinthians last week? I think we got to it. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, where Paul says, "God is able to make all grace abound to you." And the word grace is, we might think of it in another way as the favor of the Lord. I think sometimes we limit that word grace too much in Christianity. We think of we're saved by grace, and so when we hear the word grace, we immediately think of eternal salvation, and of course there's absolute truth there. But the word for grace is much broader than just eternal salvation. It's the favor of the Lord. It's the favor of the Lord. In fact, that verse of Scripture, it says, "God is able to make all grace abound to us so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, we may have an abundance for every good work." Scripture tells us plainly that when we're generous, God gives back to us. And the desire in the heart of God is to pour out abundance of blessings back into our lives. Now, we tend to think of blessings in strictly a monetary way, and God can certainly bless us in that way. But that's just one minor way, really, that the blessing of the Lord can come to us. The blessings of God can come to us in a multitude of ways. The blessings of God can come to us in wisdom and in strength. Can come to us in peace and joy in difficult times and in hard circumstances. It can be maybe the right people coming into our life, or maybe a job opportunity that comes your way that you weren't expecting, or a promotion that might come your way. The blessings of the Lord can come in many and various ways in our life, but the promises of God and the blessings of the Lord will come when we make Jesus the priority of our life. David is the author of Psalm 23. David David and Goliath fame. We know David from the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David was a young shepherd boy in his father's house and became the king in Israel, the second king. To this day, they call David the greatest of all kings of Israel. He is a picture to us in many ways of Jesus. It was promised to him that he would have a son, a descendant, who would be the Messiah. And so he pictures to us in many ways the Lord himself. But he's the author of this 23rd Psalm. And let's look at this verse by verse and see some things this morning. And I want you to understand the blessings that are being described in the 23rd Psalm that God wants to bring to our lives. Remember, he's the shepherd that makes us the sheep. Okay? Now, that's not always a compliment, because sheep are known to be pretty dumb animals sometimes. And we'll talk about it in just a little while. They sometimes will wander off course and get away from the shepherd, and he'll have to go look for them and bring them back and those kinds of things. And our good shepherd does all of that. But we have to see this psalm from that perspective. We're looking at this psalm from the perspective of a sheep. Okay? So everybody say bad. No, don't say that. We're sheep. The Lord is our shepherd. And David says that. He says in the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. And then there's a therefore at this point. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And here's what David is telling us in that very first verse. He says, because the Lord is my shepherd. And he's going to go on and describe in the rest of these verses what a shepherd does, and how the shepherd brings blessings to the sheep. And so he starts off by saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I won't have need of anything. I have need of nothing. God takes care of all of my needs. God even blesses me with some of my wants. The Lord is my shepherd. David believed in the goodness of God. In fact, I got a marker here somewhere. Look over at Psalm 38. David believed in the goodness of the Lord. I said 38, 34, Psalm 34. David is the author of this. David wrote nearly about half of the Psalms that you and I have in our Bible. And Psalm 34 is also a Psalm of David. I want you to look at Psalm 34, verse 8, 8, 9, and 10. Look at what he says. David says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. He abounds in blessings when we surrender and follow the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, he says, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. The desires of the heart are satisfied. God brings blessings. God meets needs. And we, again, as he said in the 23rd Psalm, I shall not want. Verse 10, young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. God is a good God, and God desires to pour out blessings on those who will follow after him. Go back over to Psalm 23. Look at the second verse with me. Psalm 23, verse 2. Now, in the rest of the psalm, he describes the blessings of the shepherd, the blessings that we receive when we make Jesus our shepherd, when we follow the good shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. First of all, and again, think like a sheep now, okay? You got to think like a sheep. He said, he makes me lie down. First of all, that tells me if we're a sheep and we are comfortable enough to lie down, that means we feel safe and secure, doesn't it? We're not concerned about any enemy. We're not concerned about any attack. We're not concerned about what else might happen. That doesn't mean there aren't any enemies. That doesn't mean there aren't any attackers. It just means we're not concerned about them because we know the Lord is our shepherd. And the Lord is going to take care of us. And what a blessing to know that God is taking care of us no matter what's happening in the world that's around us. It says in the next part there, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. That speaks of abundance. The very phrase green pastures speaks of abundance. You know, you and I have this saying in our day and time, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. That means the other guy is more blessed than we are. That greener pasture is a sign of greater blessing. And so he tells us here, he makes us to lie down in the green pastures, the pastures of abundance. And it speaks of the abundant supply of the Lord in his provision. He leads us beside, this translation says, the quiet waters. Your translation may say still waters. Same thing. I'm told, I don't know farm animals or anything like that. Larry could probably tell you more about this than I could, but I'm told that sheep won't get close to a stream where the water is running very rapidly because the rapid running water, the rustling of the water scares them. So they won't get close to it. So if it's a rushing stream, they'll stand there and all the water that they need's passing them by, but they won't take a drink of it because they're scared of it. And so they have to be led to a pond or to a place where the water is quiet and the water is still so that they can have that thirst quenched. And the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, leads us to the quiet waters, to the still waters, where our soul can be quenched and our thirst can be satisfied. All of these blessings come to the sheep who make the Lord their shepherd. Verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. Let's just stop there. He restores my soul. This speaks of inner healing. And that speaks of two things. Number one, that speaks of forgiveness of sin. When we have sinned against other people, we have offended and hurt other people, the Lord, if we will confess and repent, will forgive us of our sins. And the Bible says, cleanse us of all unrighteousness and restore us to relationship with God. So he restores our soul. But it also means inner healing in the sense that, listen, and this will apply to every single one of us because all of us in one way or another, to one dimension or another, have been hurt by other people. Other people say things to us, say things about us, do things to us. Maybe it's a situation of abuse or rejection or something has happened in the lives of every single one of us in one way, shape, or form. We've been hurt by people. It's just a fact of life. But the Good Shepherd restores our soul. He brings healing to those places where we've been hurt so that we can be whole again and move forward with our lives. He restores our soul. The rest of that verse, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That talks about guidance. That talks about wisdom. That talks about knowing the right way to go in life. And I want you to hear this, because sometimes we kind of take that for granted or we overlook the significance of that. And what that means is this, that God sets our lives, when we make Jesus our Lord, he will set us on the right path so that we live the right way in a way that brings glory and honor to him. In fact, he said in that verse of scripture, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us in a righteous way so that we bring glory and honor to him. But here's the point in how it applies to you and me. I want you to hear this. When he leads us in paths of righteousness, what that means is he's going to steer us away from sin. He's going to steer us away from poor choices and wrong choices. He's going to help us to make right choices so that, here it is, so that we don't have to suffer the consequences of the wrong choices and the poor choices that we might otherwise have made. Hear the blessing of the Lord. I want you to think about it this way. Think about something that you have done in your life. Think about just for a moment, okay? I don't want you to dwell on it. I want you to think about it for just a moment, though. I want you to think about a poor choice that you made. Something maybe you said or did that hurt somebody. Maybe it was a poor choice where finances were concerned and you lost a lot of money. Maybe it was something immoral. Maybe it was something illegal. Maybe you lied to somebody and you got caught in a web of lies. Maybe you stole something and you got caught and now you got to pay for it. How many of you know the Bible says the wages of sin is death? And Galatians tells us in Galatians 6 that when we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption and destruction. The point is this, brothers and sisters, when we make wrong choices, there are always consequences we're going to have to pay. But think about that in the context of a wrong choice or a bad choice that you made in your life. And the people that were hurt, you got hurt because of your choices. Other people got hurt because of your choices. Just suppose you hadn't made that wrong choice to begin with. Think of all of the pain that could have been missed. Think of all of the suffering that could have been bypassed if we'd have just made the right choice to begin with. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He helps us to make righteous choices so that we avoid the suffering that comes from the wrong choices that we often make when we dwell in the flesh. It's the guidance of the Lord to lead us in the right way. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Here the promise of the Lord is that God is going to be with us through the hard times of life. No fear, only comfort, because God is with us. Now notice he didn't say there weren't going to be any valleys. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, if you come to me, you're not going to have any more valleys in life. No, what he said was, when you come to me, I'll walk with you through the valley. And by the way, how many of you know the secret to getting out of the valley? The secret to getting out of the valley, listen, he said, though I walk through the valley. The secret in the valley, brothers and sisters, don't stop. Keep on walking. Keep walking with God. God's going to take you through. God's going to bring you out on the other side. God's going to give you victory in your life. Look over at Isaiah chapter 43 real quickly with me. Isaiah is about four books to your right. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah chapter 43. Hear the word of the Lord. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name, and you are mine. If you write in your Bible that word mine, you ought to circle it, underline, put stars around it or something. God says, you are mine. Here's the point I want to make out of that. How many of you know you are responsible for what's yours? Okay? You are responsible for what's yours. And God says, you are mine. God's saying, hang in there, you're mine. I'm going to take responsibility for you. I'm going to take care of you. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God says, I will be with you no matter what comes your way in life. And when you walk with me through it, you will go through it. And you'll come out the other side. I think I always think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that particular verse there where it says, when you go through the fire. And how those brothers went into that fiery furnace, and when they came out on the other side, there was no evidence whatsoever they had ever been in a furnace. There was no smell of smoke on them. The hair of their head wasn't singed in any way. Their clothes weren't burnt in any way. They passed right through the fire because of the fourth man that was in the furnace with them. And God promises to go through the trials of life with us. And so that when we go through those things, we can go through and not be shaken. How would you like to go through the trials of life and not be shaken by bad news? Wouldn't that be something? Most of us, when we get bad news in life, we just kind of shudder for a minute, especially when bad news comes after bad news after bad news. And we just kind of, after a while, God, when is it going to stop? And we just shudder at the constant bad news. Let me share this passage with you from Psalm 112. I'm going to get back to Psalm 23 in a minute, I promise. Psalm 112. The psalmist here says, "Praise the Lord, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord," the abundance of blessings. Watch this. Who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. The abundant blessing that the Lord will bring to the man who fears him and delights in his ways. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. Look at that. Light arises in the darkness. When you're going through a dark time, when you're going through a situation and you can't seem to see the light, you can't find the way out, the scripture says light will arise. God will show you the way. God will be with you in that darkness and bring you out into the light. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with a man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment. Watch this. Watch verse 6. For he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. This same man, we're still talking about the same person. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. He will not fear evil tidings. He will not be shaken at bad news. He will stand firm in God, knowing that no matter what bad news is coming his way, his God is with him, and his God is going to be there for him to give him victory through the bad season that he's going through in his life. Sometimes when we're in the valley, we can be in a situation where we think, well, we can't see the light, where we can't see the way out, where it doesn't look like we're going to get out. Defeat is imminent and all is lost. But brother and sister, just because you and I can't see the way doesn't mean God doesn't have a way. Just because we can't see the answer, just because we can't see the way out doesn't mean that God doesn't have a way if we will just keep on believing. He can make a way, the song tells us, where there seems to be no way. I think about the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, and they came to, and both, by the way, remember where those children were going? The Bible says they were going to the promised land, which the Bible describes as a land that flows with milk and honey. A land that is rich, a land that is prosperous, a land that abounds in blessings for those who live there. In fact, when the children of Israel do get there, when the children of Israel do get there, they send spies out into the land to confirm that it's all that God said it was. And 12 spies went out into the land, and they found that the land was just as glorious as God says. It's a blessed land. It's a rich land. It's a prosperous land. There's stuff everywhere. In fact, the Bible says that they picked a cluster of grapes, and this cluster of grapes was so big, it took 2 men to carry that cluster of grapes out of the promised land on a pole to bring back to the tribe of Israel so that they could see just how prosperous the land was that God was giving to them. But the Bible also tells us that these people couldn't go into the promised land because 10 of those spies who came out with a bad report. They came out and says, yes, the land is rich, the land is prosperous, the land overflows, just as God said, but there are giants in the land, and there's no way we can take it. God said, take the land, go in, take the land, possess the land, it's your land. And they said, we can't do it. They couldn't see the way that God was trying to prepare for them. And as a result, an entire generation of unbelievers had to die off in that wilderness because they were shaken by a bad report and because they couldn't see the way that God was trying to prepare them, prepare for them before they got there. But listen, even before they got to the promised land, the children of Israel come out of Egypt and they come to the border, to the coast of the Red Sea. And now it looks like they're trapped. Because they look back to Egypt and they look back in the distance and they can probably see the clouds of smoke and the dust from the armies of Israel and the chariots and the horsemen that are coming from Egypt to take them captive one more time. In fact, the nation of Israel got fearful and they complained to Moses and they said, Moses, did you bring us all the way out here just so we'd die out here in the wilderness? You should have left us alone, man. We should have never listened to you. But Moses wouldn't be shaken by a bad report. And Moses looked at the children of Israel and he said, don't be afraid, don't fear. Just stand still and see the salvation of God. Moses says, God's going to make a way for you where it doesn't appear to be any way for you. God's going to help you to get across this Red Sea. And you know the story of how God split that Red Sea and they walked across the Red Sea on dry land. Because God can make a way where there appears to be no way. When they got into the wilderness, they complained because they didn't have food. God provided manna from heaven. Understand that there are estimated between 2 and 3 million Jews came out of Egypt with Moses. And when they didn't have food to eat, God supernaturally fed them. Manna from heaven every day. When they complained about being thirsty, Moses struck a rock, and out of one rock gushed enough water to quench the thirst of millions of Israelites in the wilderness. By the way, that rock is a picture of Christ, from whom comes the waters of life to quench the thirst of every hungry soul, every thirsty soul in all the world. God has a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. You and I, brother and sister, you and I are sitting on the evidence that God can make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. When we first started our church in 1988 and we began immediately to look for a place to have a building, some land to build or a building we could renovate or something that we could call our own place. And we met in our home for a year and we met at the Sheffield School cafeteria for a year, and we met at Fort Early for a year, and we met across the street. And used to be a dance studio over there. We met over there for about 8 years. And I spent all that time looking for some place that Victory Fellowship could call home. And early in the 90s, maybe 90, 91, I saw this tract of land. Becky and I, most of you know, we live just 5 minutes from here, and we go past this tract of land all the time. And there was a sign on this tract of land. It was for sale. And so I came out one day and I looked at this piece of land and I thought, Lord, what a great place to put a church. What a beautiful place to put a church. I called the realtor. He said, yeah, the land's for sale. There was a friend of mine, Rick Reed. He says, yeah, the land is for sale. They want $240,000 for it. Almost $250,000. I didn't hardly have a quarter, let alone $250,000. And I thought, no way. No way. And I kept looking for land and buildings, and we looked for years for some place. We tried to build on the other side of town over on Wigington Road. We bought 3 acres of land over there. And we had an engineer draw up a site plan for us. He went to the city, had it approved. We were ready to get a contractor and build over there. But God had something else in mind. And God brought Jimmy across an old friend that he had known 30 years before in Richmond, Virginia, and met this guy, and he's talking to the son of this guy, And he tells him he's from Lynchburg. And this guy says, we own some land in Lynchburg. And Jimmy tells him where we're meeting and where we're looking. And this guy says, well, I own land in that part of town. And come to find out, it's this tract of land. It's this tract of land. And to make a long story a little longer, we ended up buying this tract of land. We settled on a price of $90,000. And then they donated back $30,000. A tract of land, $240,000. And God provided it for $60,000. Because God can make a way. Blessings in abundance when we put God first place. Look at Psalm 1 with me real quickly. How blessed, verses 1, 2, and 3, Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Another way of saying that, he delights in the word of God. He delights in the word of God. And in that law, in that word, he meditates day and night. He puts God first place in his life. Look at the blessings that come when he puts God first place in his life. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Firmly planted speaks of stability. It speaks of security. It's not waffling. It's not waving. It's not being moved by every wind. But it's strong and it's secure. No matter what comes against it, it's immovable. Because it's securely planted. By streams of living water speaks of provision. It speaks of being fed continuously and constantly and provided for by the stream. This tree that's firmly planted, it says at the in verse 3 there, which yields its fruit in its season. It's always fruitful when it's supposed to be. The fruit is always being born on this tree because it's planted firmly. It's secure. It's drinking vast amounts of water and it's producing the fruit that it's supposed to. Listen, brother and sister, that's you and me. That's you and me being planted in the Word of God, drinking of the waters of the Spirit, and seeing the fruit of the Spirit manifest in our life. When we're firmly planted, when we delight in the Lord, when we put God first place in our life. Its leaf does not wither. Brother, that's eternal life. That's eternal life. Its leaf does not wither. And then look at the end of that. And whatever he does, he prospers. That's victory. That's success. That's an abundance of blessings by the hand of the Lord when we make God first place in our life. Can I get you to look at one more passage in Isaiah? Go to Isaiah chapter 1. I promise we're going to get back to the 23rd chapter of Psalms. I want to tie this into what I talked about just in the third verse in just a moment. This will tie us all together. Isaiah chapter 1. We talked about how he leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. He leads us in paths of righteousness so we make the right choices and now we don't have to suffer the negative consequences and the destructive consequences of the poor choices that we made because now we're making right choices in God. But how many of you know it's not natural that we live that way all the time? Anybody admit making wrong choices this past week? Any of you? I made a couple. And we still do that because we still live in the flesh. But here's the thing, brother and sister. God doesn't turn his back on us and cast us aside and reject us because we made those wrong choices. God still pursues us. God still chases after us. And God still desires to bless us abundantly. In Isaiah chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 18, but I want to lead up to it first because I want you to hear what's going on in the heart of God before he makes the statement he makes in verse 18. In Isaiah chapter 1, God is speaking to the children of Israel, and let me just say it this way, God is ticked. Okay? God's fed up. God's had enough. These people have mocked God. They've made a mockery out of their worship, a mockery out of their sacrificial system, out of all the things that they're doing. They're going through the motions. They're bringing the offerings on, all these kind of things. But they're leaving there and they're worshiping the idols of the people of the other nations around them. And brother and sister, this has been going on for year after year, decade after decade. And God has finally gotten to a point where he says, enough of this. In fact, he tells them in this passage of scripture, he says, don't even bother bringing your offering to church anymore. Don't bother. You're making a mockery of the whole thing. But now listen to this. This is unbelievable. Listen to the love and the compassion and the graciousness and the kindness of God toward these people. Verse 18, come now, let's reason together. Come and sit down and let's talk this out. He's calling these people who have forsaken him for generations. He's calling them to repentance. He's calling them to come home. He's calling them to come back to himself. He says, come, sit down, let's talk it over. Let me show you where you've made your mistakes. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. He says, if you will just repent, if you will just turn and come back to me, I don't care what you've been doing, and I don't care how long you've been doing it. And listen, brother and sister, I want you to take this personally. This is a personal word for you and me today. This is not just about Israel. This is about you and me today. We've made wrong choices. We've done wrong things. We've blown it. We've made mistakes. But God is saying to us, I don't care what you've done, and I don't care how long you've been doing it. If you'll come back to me, if you'll repent of your sins, and if you'll just come home to me, look at what he says in verse 19. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. He says, I still have an abundance of blessings that I desire to give to you if you'll just come back to me and make me the priority of your heart and of your life again. God has an abundance of blessings that he desires to give to us. You can go ahead and turn back over to Psalm 23. I want to read one more passage of scripture to you before we look at the rest of Psalm 23 from Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you can follow along if you like, or you can go to Psalm 23. Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is the Lord's word to the children of Israel, just as they are about to enter the promised land. And Moses is sort of giving them some final instructions of how they are to live when they get in there. And listen to what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. Hear it again. He says, if you put God first place in your life, blessings will follow in abundance. Let's read them. God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. I like that word, overtake. Can you imagine blessings running you down from behind? Man, you're just going through life and just blessings that beat you in the back of the head. God is chasing you down with blessings. They overtake you and overwhelm you because you've put God first in your life and you made him your priority. All of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come against you one way. They will flee from you seven ways. The Lord will, listen to this. The Lord will command the blessing. Look at that in verse 8. The Lord will command the blessing upon your barns and all that you put your hand to do, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and the offspring of the beast, and of the produce of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, to be blessed in all of the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations and shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will be above and not underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully and do not turn aside from any of the words which I have commanded you today, from the right or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. He says, if you put God first, God will bless you in every arena and every area of your life. And God has blessings in every area for us, brother and sister. Not just spiritual blessings, and thank God for the spiritual blessings, but blessings, we've already read them, blessings for our body, blessings for our mind, blessings for our spirit, peace and joy and wisdom and guidance and right direction, confidence and boldness, health for our body, for our soul, for our spirit, job opportunities, business opportunities, promotional opportunities, the right people in our life, maybe Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or whatever right you need. God will bring these things to us. All of these blessings will come to us when we make God the priority of our life and make the decision we're going to serve him and only him. Go back over to Psalm 23. Let's finish this up. There are other verses that I could read to you today, other passages that I could read for you. Let me just give them to you real quick. Psalm 31:19, God has blessings stored up for those who fear him. Proverbs 10:6, blessings are on the head of the righteous. That's the one who trusts and loves and believes in the Lord and serves him. Proverbs 28:20, the faithful man will abound in blessings. These are the promises of the word of God for the person who makes God first place in his life. Psalm 23, let's finish this up. We're in verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that got us off onto Israel and all these other things, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, the shepherd would beat off the wolves or bear or whatever might come after the sheep. They would take that rod and they would beat the enemy's attackers off. The staff was the hook end of that thing so that when the sheep would get off on the wrong path and start going the wrong way, the shepherd could just reach out and just hook him like that, just pull him right back onto the right path and set him in the right direction, bring him back where he needs to be. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table. I want you to look at this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows in verse 5. The table that he's talking about here in verse 5, the picture that he's painting for us in verse 5, is a banquet eating table. Okay? It's a banquet with a feast and a great celebration and an abundant supply of blessing. Notice, first of all, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This isn't eternity future, brother and sister. This is this lifetime. This is where you and I have enemies to fight, not the next life. And so he says, in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a banquet eating table for me, and you invite me to come and to dine and to sit with you there. I'm thinking of the story of Ruth. Ladies, you guys should be at the Bible study tomorrow night for Ruth chapter 2. The story of Ruth is such a beautiful love story in the Bible, and it's a picture of the love relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. Ruth is a Gentile woman who has made a commitment to the God of Israel, and she comes into Israel as a pauper, as a woman who has virtually nothing. And in the law of Israel, people who had nothing had a right to go out and glean in fields after they had been harvested. Do you know what that word glean? Do you understand that principle these days? Maybe we do, maybe we don't. When a farmer would harvest all of his field, harvest all the crops off of his field, some things would fall on the ground as he harvested his crops. And the law of Israel was whatever falls on the ground must be left on the ground. And once you've harvested that field or portion or whatever, and you go on, now the poor can come out and they can harvest what was dropped on the ground. It's called gleaning, okay? And so Ruth is in a field and she's gleaning, and the master of the field sees her and loves her and cares for her and tells his servants, he said, don't be too concerned about what falls on the ground. In fact, if only a little bit falls on the ground, I want you to take extra handfuls of grain and throw it out on the ground for her so that she can come along and she'll find an abundance of grain on the ground when she comes to harvest. And not only that, when it came time for dinner, the master of the field, he loved Ruth so much, he invited her to come and eat with him. It's a picture of Christ and the church and the way Jesus provides for us handfuls of blessing deliberately and on purpose and invites us to come and dine at his table with him. Not eating as paupers, but dining as children of God. David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. This was a part of the banquet feast. Anoint the head with oil. He says, my cup overflows. He said, I am so blessed by the banquet you have provided. You ever felt so good about something, your heart just overflowed? You're just overcome. You're just overwhelmed with it. This is what he's talking about. My cup overflows. He says, I am so blown away by the blessings that you have prepared for me and the way that you care for me and the way that you meet my needs. My cup overflows. And finally, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy or loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. He had the expectation. Listen, David has the expectation that he will be continually blessed by the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, all the days of his life. And even that was just a foretaste of the eternity that he was going to spend with God as he dwells in the house of the Lord forever. As it is with David, so it is for you and I. If we make Jesus the Lord of our life, we follow him as the good shepherd. We live for his glory. You and I can expect an abundance of blessings from the hand of our good God. Father, we thank you today for a love that overflows, yet so undeserved. We thank you for your care for us today, Lord, that you desire to lavish your love upon us, and in your grace, provide an abundance to us, that our needs might be met and that we might have a sufficiency for every good work that you call us to do. Blessed to be a blessing. Thank you, Father. for the abundance of blessings that await the child of God who make the quality decision to put you first place in everything, to live for your glory, to live in such a way that you are pleased with our life. Thank you, Father. I pray, Father, I thank you for the message you've shared here today. I thank you that you have reminded us that you desire to bring blessing to us. And I pray that as a result of the message today, Father, our hearts will be awakened to faith, to believe and expect good things to come to our life from your good hand. And I pray, Father, that as our hearts are awakened, our eyes would be open and we would have an expectation to see the goodness of God manifest in our lives. Goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. Father, help us to anticipate. And when the blessings come, help us to see and recognize where they've come from, that we might give you all of the praise, all of the thanks, and all of the glory for the good things that you've done in our life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me this morning and stay in an attitude of prayer? And we're just going to wait on the Lord for a moment or two and stand quietly in prayer and see if there's anything else God wants to speak to our heart. One more thing that I feel like I need to say this morning, and it's something we all need to understand, because I think sometimes we think God is so tight we can't hardly get anything from God. And the Bible paints a picture that's exactly the opposite. While we're waiting on God, God's waiting on us. When are you going to come home? When are you going to turn to me? When are you going to surrender? When are you going to start living for me? For my glory? When we make that decision, brother and sister, to put God first and live for Him and not ourselves, blessings in abundance from the good hand of our God await us. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Hear the word of the Lord. God says to us this morning, the ball's in your court. The ball's in your court. The promises have been made. Now, what are you going to do about it? Let's make the choice to put God first. Lay our lives down. Surrender to Him. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I invite you to do that, to make Him the Lord of your life. The Bible tells us there is no salvation in the earth except through Jesus Christ. His is the only name by which we must be saved. And if you've never confessed your sins to God and asked the Lord to save your heart and forgive your sins, I encourage you to do that today and start a new life with God today. If you can pray a simple prayer, like, God in heaven, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And I believe your Son Jesus is the Son of the living God and He's raised from the dead. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive my sins and save my soul. If you can pray a simple prayer like that from your heart to God, you can start a new life today with God. If you've never done that, can I encourage you to make that decision today? Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of the living God, raised from the dead. I admit I'm a sinner and I need you to forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and save my soul. Father, if there are those here today that have never prayed that prayer, I pray that they would take it to heart right now. Pray that prayer and open their heart to you and let you be Lord of their life. And let me ask you, as we close our service this morning, is there anybody here as we are now to prayer with our heads bowed and eyes closed? If you're here this morning, you've decided to make that your prayer today to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody here with us today? Anybody? God bless you, sir. God bless you, son. God bless you. Jesus loves you and He has good things in store for you as you surrender your life to Him every day. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for new life today. Thank you for new beginnings today. Thank you for new beginnings for our brothers here today, Lord. Thank you for new beginnings for all of us today. As we turn our lives over to you new and fresh, and we get a fresh start today to walk with you. We praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place and in the hearts of all of your people here today. We give you thanks for the opportunity to celebrate it together and to rejoice in you and in your goodness to us. Father, we pray as we move forward from this day, you would continue to remind us of the promises we've heard today and the instructions we've received today, and that, Father, we'd make the decision every day, lay down our life, follow you, make the right choice, do the right thing, walk in the ways of God, experience the blessings of the Lord, and life abundant and life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, be with us as we leave this place today. May your love overflow in our hearts until it reaches others and touches them, that they too may know the Lord God whom we serve. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We're going to sing and be dismissed as we always are. And if we can pray with you about anything personal going on in your life today, we'll be here after the service to pray with you and minister to you personally. We never want anybody to leave our services on Sunday or Wednesday night thinking you didn't get what you needed from church that particular time. And so we're here to pray with you and to minister to you personally. Give us an opportunity to say goodbye to folks as they leave here, and we'll spend as much time as you need praying with you about what's going on in your life. Let's pray together and sing together as we're dismissed this morning. Let's sing. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great day in the Lord. We hope to see you later on this week for Bible studies.